discussing on believers' conduct. Today's
week what? Week what? This will be week 5, right? Is this not week 5?
Believers' conduct, week 5. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 3, quickly. Verse 15. It says, I'm from 1 Timothy, sorry. Love 2 Timothy so much. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. And this thing I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. Say, but if I'm delayed, I write that you may know how you also conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. He said, the pillar and the ground of truth. Hallelujah. Say, you know how to conduct yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That word church, he said, he calls it in the house of the living God. He said, the church and the pillar of truth. Hallelujah. So he calls the house of the living God the church. Hallelujah. What does that mean? The oikia of God is his church. Meaning God's dwelling place is his church. Hallelujah. And you know, we said there's such a thing as believers' behavior, believers' conduct. Now let's look at that word church. The word church is from the Greek word ecclesia. Ecclesia. The word ecclesia is a compound word of ek and kaleo. Ek, ek, and kaleo. Ek, or ek, is the word which implies out. You know, the word that implies out. Let us have it, out. We have another word, which is kaleo. It means to call. Kaleo, to call. Kaleo. You find that word kaleo in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11. It says, for both he who sanctified and those who have been sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them. You understand? To call them brethren is the word that implies to call. Do you understand me? In Romans 4 verse 17, we have the same word used, kaleo, to call. You have it again in Romans 9 verse 11, Galatians chapter 5 verse 8, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24, and 1 Peter 3 verse 6. It's the word kaleo, it means to call, to name. To call by name. Hallelujah. Now, when you put those two words together, the word ecclesia will imply to call out. To call out, or the called out. Those who are called out. To call out something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when we look at that word church, in our study, we saw that all through scripture, there's never a place where the church is referred to as a building. The church is not a building. Never. All through scripture, where the word church is referred to, it was never called a building. Meaning, God doesn't dwell in a building. Remember, the church is the house of God. God's dwelling place. God's permanent dwelling place. So, since the building is not a church, that means God doesn't dwell in building. And we'll find that in Acts of Apostles chapter 7. We'll find it in Acts of Apostles, we'll find it in Hebrews. God doesn't dwell in building. So there is a constant warning to people, especially those that are of the Jews. You know, the Jews have this picture of temple. The temple is what God says. You know, now there was a conscious act by the apostles to let them know that the church of God is not a temple. It's not a building. Do you understand? That the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Made with hands. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, remember I told you, That shows you that the way the temple was used in the Old Testament will not be what a figure, will not be a narrative. It was used as a narrative. Hallelujah. To show what God will do in the redemption. Hallelujah. Since they did not believe the words of Moses. Do you understand? So Moses will not give them the temple as a narrative. Say Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. So Moses will not give them the temple just to illustrate what God would do in the new birth. Did you get that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we further said that when the word temple is mentioned, remember it means the called out ones. A typical Jew, on hearing the word church, when he hears the word church, two things comes to mind. Number one, the first thing that comes to mind is the Exodus movement. How they were brought out of Egypt. Hallelujah. How they came out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Did you get that? And remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, say, I will build my church. You understand? The gate of hell will not prevail. When he talked about the gate of hell, he was referring to his death. Do you understand me? His burial and his resurrection. So he was not saying, let's pray that gate of hell will not prevail. That is wrong interpretation of scripture. Do you understand? Remember, a word derives its meaning in the context of using. You don't just speak out and say, aha. Do you understand me? So that is wrong interpretation of scripture. Let's pray you want to start up a church. Let's pray the gate of hell will not prevail. You know what is wrong? It is because you don't know scripture. Let me come down. Hallelujah. So it's just wrong interpretation of scripture. Do you understand? That will make somebody say that. So when a typical Jew hears the word church, what comes to mind first will be the Exodus movement. They are moving from Egypt. Do you understand? And you know, the movement of Egypt, even if it is a true life event, remember how I taught us that Moses writes, right, during our teaching meeting. I said Moses will use life events, events that happened in history to illustrate what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So Moses writing about their movement from Egypt will signify, Egypt will signify what? The world. Do you understand me? Egypt will signify what? The world. So that movement out of Egypt will not be Colossians 1:13. He has delivered from us from the kingdom of darkness. So when our kingdom of darkness is mentioned, Egypt comes to mind. Do you understand? From the kingdom of darkness. And has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. Do you understand that? How did he do it? In the light. Hallelujah. How did he do it? By his spirit in us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand that? So the spirit of God in us, the imprint of the spirit, is that movement. Hallelujah. Is that translation from the kingdom of darkness into what? The kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. So we are in Christ now. Glory to God. So that is what comes to mind. That movement. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So who is that man?
The man that is born again is referred to as the church of Christ.
Do you understand? The man who is born again is referred to as the church of Christ. He's not a building. No. Hallelujah. We saw that in 1 Corinthians. We also looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 20. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. Said, therefore, if the whole church come together. When he says, if the whole church come together, he's not referring to every Catholic, Protestant, it's like, no. If the whole church referring to what? Me and you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Talking to believers. Believers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? Glory to God. So if the whole church comes together. So he's referring to believers. So as a man who is born again, you are the church of Christ. Why? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Do you understand that? Do you understand it? So that's why he calls us the house of God. Hallelujah. So that's why he calls us the house of God. Okay. Also, when they hear the word church, another thing that comes to mind will be the what? The gathering in the wilderness, when the word church is mentioned. Hallelujah. So it will refer also to the what? To the gathering. The gathering of believers is also called church. So when the Jew hears the word church, what comes to mind is their gathering in the wilderness. You understand? So the church refers to the gathering of believers. So these are the two ways church is used in the scriptures. You understand? These are the two ways the word church is used in the scripture. So Jesus didn't coin the word. No. Jesus only used it the same way it was used. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. These ones will be the ones that we want, that I called out from the kingdom of darkness. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. How did he do that? By his spirit in us. Glory to God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 quickly from verse 17. Ephesians 1 verse 17. Your spirit is the one who lives in me. Okay, he said that the God of our Father, the Lord of glory, may give unto you, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, that is revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eye to the end that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us, word. Or towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet. Take note of that. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. To the church. Which is his body. Did you see? Who he calls the church? His body. Hallelujah. Which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Did you see that? And you, in chapter 2 as well. And you. He made a lie. So, listen to verse 1, verse 2. He says, and has put all things together, and has put all things under his feet, and made him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all and you. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. So, yeah. That and you in chapter 2, what's the part of? It's just well together. Hallelujah. Yeah. All in all, his body. So, the church is his body, and is the head over the church. Now let's read chapter 2 from verse 1. He made alive, and you he made alive, who were once dead in trespasses and sin. How did he make us alive? Glory to God. By the indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. In which you once walked according to the closure of this word. According to the course, sorry, cause of this word, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walk in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once have conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. So where is the believer? In Christ. Together?
in Christ.
And who is Christ? The head of the church. Who is the church? The believer.
His body. Do you understand me? Did you see the oneness?
Let's go to chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 16. It says, and from whom the whole body, joint and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth in the body for the edifying of itself in love. When you hear body, what would you think? What is he talking about? You have to go back to what chapter 1.
When you talk about body, what is he referring to? The body of Christ, right? Chapter 2, we are that body, right? So chapter 4, what is referring to?
In fact, I was supposed to read from verse 1. But if we read from verse 1, he spoke about the ministry gift.
The purpose of the pastor is, or the leader, the elder, is edifying the saints. Verse 12, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That till we all come, right? Till we all come to
the unity of faith. He said to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God, that we should no longer be what? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Did you see that? Now, he now mentioned what?
Christ again as the head of the body. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So, he talks about the purpose of the ministry gift is to do what? Is to edify the church or the his body, the church, right? So that the church too also do the work of the ministry. Do you understand me? So every joint,
when you talk about every joint, supply
is referring to what? You doing your own part in what? In the work of ministry. Do you understand that?
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go jump to chapter 5. Look at chapter 5, verse 23. Chapter 5, verse 23. Are you there? He says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Also, so as also Christ the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 30. For we are members of his body. Did you not see? So when he talks about the body in chapter 1, that he says is the head of the body, he now says we are members of that body. Do you understand me? Did you get that? Okay. Of his flesh and of his bones. Did you see that?
Hallelujah. Amen. So when he talks about in chapter 4, every part supplies, he's referring to what? Every believer. Do you understand me? So what Paul is teaching here, Paul is teaching identification with Christ, in Christ.
Our identification in Christ. You understand me? Telling them, he's teaching, this is who we are in Christ. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This is who we are. You understand me? This is who we are in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very important. Look at chapter 3, chapter 6 of Romans.
Chapter 6 of Romans, he says, shall we continue to sin again? How can we who are dead to sin live any longer? He said, don't you know, as many of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, he said we were buried with him by baptism,
just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too should walk in newness of life. When he says we were baptized into Christ, he's telling us that at salvation we are identified with Christ's experience.
Then as a salvation, we identify ourselves with Christ's experience. Glory to God. Yeah.
And this is what Peter will now call the times of refreshing.
We identify with Christ's experience. That baptism is his experience.
The death, burial, and resurrection. So that's what he explained.
Don't you know many of you who were baptized into Christ? We were baptized into his death. We were buried with him in baptism. That Christ was raised from the dead. By the glory of the Father,
that we too should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's very important that to know that the man in Christ is the man, or the man born again is the man who is identified in Christ, or the man who is born again is in Christ. These are identification. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2. Verse 11 into 12. It says, in him you were also, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off of the, by putting off the body of sin, of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Our identification in his work, our identification in his experience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, we were, he said, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13, quickly. And we're baptized into one spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, verse 12, he said, for as the body is one and has many members, so but all the members of that body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body.
Hallelujah.
Listen, we're all baptized into one body. Our identification in Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the believers are united, identified in Christ. This means that Christ Jesus is the, we could call him the universal church. He is the head of all.
Jonathan
is the universal church.
We're all identified in him as the church. He is the head. He is the universal church. He is the head. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, and I said, we said we are his church because of the indwelling of the Spirit. That's what we said earlier. He said, because the Spirit of God in us, we are the church. That's how he delivered us from the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. By the indwelling of the Spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, which means we are the Spirit house. We are God's house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Say, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have of God? You are not your own. Do you understand that?
Hallelujah. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the dwelling place? Hallelujah. The dwelling place of the Spirit of God.
We are the house of God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we looked at John 2, where Jesus said to them, he said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up. I raised it up in 3 days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 19, John 2. So Jesus has said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. If you read verse 21, I said, but this he was speaking concerning the temple of his body. Do you understand that? Concerning the temple of his body. But in verse 16, it tells us the Father's house should not, do not make my Father's house the house of merchandise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, we said something. These are some truths we said in the course of the teaching. We said, so, Jesus at his incarnation, we said, was the temple of God, right? It's the temple of God at his incarnation. And we said, his life will now move them for us. Will not be for us a model in how we conduct ourselves as the house of God. Do you understand me? It will not be a model of how we conduct ourselves as the house of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? So, believers' conduct is how a believer conducts himself. You understand me? Himself. And when we come together, you know, we have the same conduct. You understand me? So we exhibit that conduct when we come together. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. So we look at the life of Jesus in his incarnation and his teaching. Because Jesus' words and his actions are the same.
His words and his actions are the same.
So in his words, in his action, we will find how the believer should what? Conduct himself. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we saw him praying. One of the conducts we found in Jesus is that he was found praying always. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he also instructed us to do the same. Right? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We find him praying. Find him praying. So prayer is not a finished work. Prayer is a continuous work. Glory to God. It's a continuous work for the believer. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Also, as regards believers' conduct, we will find Jesus teach the disciples things that at the resurrection, which is at the new birth. By now, when you hear me call resurrection, you must know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. So, which at the new birth or at the resurrection, they will find as believers' conduct for spiritual growth. Jesus, do you understand? So, listen to what I say. As regards believers' conduct, we will find Jesus teach the disciples in the four Gospels things that at the new birth, they will find as what believers' conduct for spiritual growth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So meaning it will not make their sense to them as at when he's telling them. But they will find it as a recipe for spiritual growth. So those words, though he was saying it before his death, but they will find it as a recipe for spiritual growth in his post-resurrection. So in his pre-resurrection, they will not see it as a recipe for spiritual growth, but they will find it as that in the post-resurrection. Do you understand? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
So, let's go ahead. Let's see something in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 45. Matthew 5. This is Jesus' teaching. What's his teaching here? Look at verse 45. Jesus is explaining Moses. Explaining everything Moses has written to them. Now in verse 45, he now said, verse 43 to 45. He says, you have heard that it was said. Where was it said? In the laws, right? Which law? Have you? Glory to God. In the law, so said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I said to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and unjust. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the question will now be, Jesus did not, Jesus explained what was in verse 43 by Moses. That was Moses' words, right? To them,
the law. Was Jesus contradicting what Moses said?
No. Moses said, love your neighbor.
He then said,
hate your enemies.
Right? Let's see. That word, love your neighbor, hate your enemies, are two scriptures together. So Jesus is about to teach what Moses wrote to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember, because of the hardness of their hearts, they will misinterpret what Moses has written to them. Because of the hardness of their heart, they misinterpreted what Moses has written to them. So if you are not my neighbor, if you are not my neighbor, I will hate you. Do you understand that? And we're going to see what they misinterpreted it for. Do you understand that? And Jesus now reworks it, reworks what Moses wrote to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 8. Leviticus 19, verses 8. It says, verse 18, sorry. Look at what Moses wrote to them, oh. And now tell me, if it was not their mind that was playing them tricks. Look at verse 18. He says, and you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Did you get that? This word you see here, is it this word of Moses? Is it a statement of the new birth? Is it a statement for the believer's work? Look at it closely. We'll get to see that shortly. It says, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Did you get that?
Amen.
Love your neighbor as yourself. We find Jesus said the same words. So hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 23. For we are the Lord. Verse 3. Are you there? He said, an Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. If you read from verse 1, it says, he who is emasculated by crushing or an illegitimate child. And an Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord, because they did not meet with the bread and water on the road when you came out of Egypt. Look at verse 6. I spoke about Balaam. In answer, verse 6, you shall not seek their peace, nor their prosperity all your days forever. Hallelujah. So,
Amen.
Moses gives them it is from this verse that I will now tell you their enemies will not be the Moabites, the Ammonites. You understand me? This way they now pick that word from hate your enemies. Do you understand? So the way they now read the law, when I'm being listened to, this way they read the law. Yeah?
Moses only distinguish those who will be, who you can call believers. Do you understand? So listen,
he now said, they now pick the law and now said, Moses said, do you understand? This is how they now read the law to themselves. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hate your enemy. So their enemies will now be an individual. Do you understand me? Will be another man. That's how they will now read the law. But let's see how Jesus now explains it to them.
What Jesus did was that Jesus now explained what Moses meant by what love your enemies. Meant by love your neighbors. Do you understand?
So Jesus will now get to explain. Look at that, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, closely. Closely, Matthew 5. Very closely. Verse 43. And that says, but you shall love your neighbor. But I said to you, love your enemies. Many those ones you think, remember who will be their enemies? Another man. Do you understand me? That is their enemy. But now Jesus now said, that person you think is your enemy, he said, love them. Do you understand me? Jesus will now say, love your enemy. Is Jesus contradicting Moses? Nay. No. He's explaining what Moses just told them. Remember, Moses has told them, love your neighbor as yourself. So their own understanding will now be, remember what Moses told them in Leviticus 19:18 was love your neighbors. Now the question should now be, who is your neighbor? Do you understand me? Who is your neighbor? So they don't think their neighbors should just be those of Israel. Any other nation of Israel is an enemy. Do you understand me? Aha. So their enemies will not be men, will not be people also. Do you understand? So Jesus now said, love your enemies. That is to say, what Moses is telling you is not to segregate between human beings. No. That was not what Moses told you. Do you understand? What Moses told you is what? Love your enemies. Love all men. Glory to God. Let's see. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Look at what... Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, who would I be my neighbor? Remember, to them, their enemy is the one who opposes them, Balak. Do you understand? Whenever he opposes you, is an enemy. That is who they, and Jesus Christ just showed us in verse 44. Do you understand? So their enemies will not be those who curse them, Balaam. Do you understand? That is what you find in Deuteronomy. Balaam is mentioned. Those who hate you, the Amorites. Do you understand? Those who spitefully use and persecute you, you find them today. Do you understand? So in their mind, these are those who hate us. So we must hate them. Do you understand? We must hate them. They may give us water while we came out of Egypt. Do you understand? Balaam came to curse us. So hate them. Do you understand? Now Jesus now walks it. Now say, no, love them. Pray for them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, love them. Pray for them. Because that is not who the enemy is. Do you understand? That is not who the enemy is. Hallelujah. Jesus reworks that word called enemy. He changes that word that they had in their notion.
Remember, it was not Moses that Moses has already told them before now, love your neighbors, right? In Leviticus. Do you understand? Moses has told them, love your neighbors. Do you understand?
Now, they will now choose, this is my neighbor, this is not. Do you understand that?
Aha.
So, the enemy, Jesus now reworks it to now, will now be the enemy is the devil. Do you understand me? The devil. So, he reworks that word enemy for them. So, the enemy is not an individual. Do you understand? He's not an individual. The enemy is the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand that? So, let's proceed up a bit. Who is an enemy? Who is a neighbor? Luke 10. Quickly, Luke 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 26. Let's see this. I'll start from verse 25. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to them, it is written in, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? The banner replied, and he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Did you see that? This guy understood the Torah. You understand? But this is what is written in the Torah. Do you understand that? This guy understood the Torah well. So he says, you love it. Just like when he asked a child, sing great ABCD, A for apple, B for ball. Like, okay, go and find the apple. You are pointing ball. You only just crammed. You just did that to everyone. I did that too when I was growing up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So give us reader to read. Give us reader to read.
We don't know the words, but we just know that. I don't live in the time of life, which is not far from the Bible. He went to primary school, he wasn't there before. Everyone likes Abel because of his clever. Abel was a lucky boy because his parents were rich. His father gave him a watch, and Abel was very proud of it.
We tell us to a point that we don't know it. We shall just cram it. So that when my mom comes back from the market and says, read your book, because you don't want to have issues. The kind of issue I'm talking about is the knock that will hit your head. It will resound for the rest of the week. So just carry the book. You know you are seeing nothing. We are reciting what your friend has learned in school. Hallelujah. Okay, God. When they give you an assignment in understanding mathematics, is very hard towards them. Just go to the bank. People answer. The answer is 40. How did you get the answer? Don't worry. You just do we will do to the answer. The answer will be 14. The name is smart. You need to be smart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this guy understood the Torah, or he knows the Torah. Not understood, he knows the Torah. So he gave the summary of the Torah. Now look at this, verse 28. And Jesus said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He asked Jesus, is meaning automatically. Baba don't know who your neighbor be. So Jesus, look at Jesus' response. Automatically, who is this guy? Hardness. His heart. You understand me? Hardness of heart. So Jesus will now reply him with a parable. There's 2:30. And Jesus answered and said to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho.
Jerusalem. Jericho. Take note of that.
Okay. And fell down amongst thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by another side. Holy guy. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed on the other side. And a certain Samaritan, you know, they treated Samaritan like outcasts. They didn't actually relate with Samaritan. You understand? Now, a certain Samaritan, like an outcast, you know, as he journeyed, came where he was, and he saw him and had compassion. And he went to him and bandaged his wound, pouring on oil and wine. Aha, those people are there. Anointing oil. Now let me tell you this. Oil and wine is used as medicine. Don't worry. After prayer retreat, we have no symbols in Christianity. We'll see it. Hallelujah. And the pour anointing oil on your head. It's ororo you are pouring. Don't be pouring ororo up and down.
You need to go and fry plantain. Thank you. Do your way. Holy Spirit, stay there. Holy Spirit, go here. Don't worry. Let's be around for.
After prayer retreat, we'll have that study for about a week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, can we go ahead? We're in one verse. Pouring oil and wine, verse 34, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn is like an hospital, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 currency, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So, which of these three do you think is the neighbor to him who fell amongst the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. So, who is the enemy?
Who is the neighbor? Who is the neighbor? Remember, we reward the enemy to be Satan, right? Now, who is the neighbor? Verse 12, who is the neighbor?
Okay, let's start like this. First of all, those who are is extended out to somebody who knows their child. That's what they're trying to say. Okay. Well, a neighbor will be one who is in need. Everyone that needs mercy, needs compassion. Do you understand? Everyone, including those that are what?
Not directly close to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Who is my neighbor? My next neighbor.
Barak life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, did you get that? Who the neighbor is? Do you understand? So the neighbor will not include everyone.
Do you understand? Irrespective of who they are to you. Whether you know them or not. Do you understand? So Jesus Christ expounded what a neighbor is. So the Israelites, upon hearing what Moses said in Leviticus 19:18, love your neighbors as yourself, who would that include? Everyone. Do you understand? Everyone. Do you understand that?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Let's go back to that Matthew 5. Discussing believers' conduct. He said, look at verse 45. Verse 45. It says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes sun to rise on the evil and on good, and sends rain on the just and unjust. He was telling them to love their neighbors.
Love their neighbors. Love everyone. Including who they call enemy. Including who they call it, they say love all. He said that you be the children of your Father.
Automatically, at this point, they can't be the children of their father, of God. Do you understand? Do you understand? They can't be children of God, but Jesus will use these words now to talk about post-resurrection fact. What will happen in the new birth? So meaning in the new birth,
we are going to walk in love. Do you understand? Meaning in the new birth, we will walk in love. So this is a post-resurrection fact for the believer.
Glory to God. It becomes a post-resurrection fact. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, at the new birth, they will find this word as what? The believer's conduct. How a believer should conduct himself. Where would they get it? From the words of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 22, quickly. Matthew 22. Now they came to test him. After he was done dealing with the Sadducees, the Pharisees now came. They are the real custodians of the Torah. The Torah guys. He was done dealing with the Sadducees. The Sadducees came talking about resurrection. Jesus quieted them with questions. Hallelujah. So now the Pharisees are hearing that. This guy just says at this scripture, no worry, we'll cash out. Let's go meet them. Now they don't care. Because you know what I'm saying about the Pharisees, they believe because they believe they are the only ones that know the Torah. Do you understand? They know it by everything. If they sneeze, it's Torah. Do you understand? So here's the question of verse 34. And when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, they like bringing lawyers in front, asked him a question, testing and saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of these two commandments hangs the law and the prophets. When he told them this, they now wanted to, this guy to know this. He to not ask them question. Hallelujah. But let's leave that. That's not what we're discussing today. Hallelujah. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, when Jesus said, love the Lord your God in verse 37, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, he was actually quoting Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Something beautiful I need you to see here. You know, the book of Deuteronomy will be Moses' teaching. Look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. Look at what Moses wrote. So those people that I always say, Moses is the cause of the problem. Let's see what Moses writes first. So let's see with the resurrection part. Moses 30, verse 6. Look at what Moses said. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with, that you may live. What is this about? It is not resurrection fact. Hallelujah. It is not resurrection fact. So when Paul is writing about the circumcision of the heart, where is Paul writing it from? From Deuteronomy. Do you understand me? Do you understand? So Moses was writing about the new birth. They had circumcision of their foreskin. But here Moses is saying he will circumcise your heart. That is Moses' message. Moses' message was on Christ. What Christ will do. Did you get that? So Moses is giving them the summary of the law. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And he said, you will live. Glory to God. That is eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Look at chapter 6, verse 5 of that same book. Moses again. This is Moses' teaching meeting. He says, you shall love the Lord your God. Look at verse 4. He says, yea, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. 1 Corinthians. Did you remember that? 1 Corinthians. Did you remember that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Say the Lord our God is one. 1 Corinthians 8 verses. I guess verses 5. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 8, 5 or 6. Reading 4, 5, 6. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say the Lord your God is one. It now says verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your the law of life. A. Do you remember? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus shall be in your heart. Romans chapter what? 10. Romans 10. The word is hiding in your heart and in your mouth, the word of faith which we preach. Did you see that? It shall be in your heart. Meaning, Moses taught them the word of God, of Christ. That was happening. He taught them the words of Christ. And what they needed to do was to believe. But they had a hardened heart. The major reason why Moses now puts that same words he has told them that should be in their hearts, he now put it inside the stone to reflect the hardness of their heart. Do you understand? So, do you not see why you must be around for all our meetings?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Whenever
you hear that there's teaching, make sure you are there.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Make sure you are there.
You missed meetings before now. Because they are all inside.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So can you now see what Moses, why Moses will not give them the law in the tablet of stone? That one in tablet of stone was to reflect what was in the state of your heart, the hardness of their heart. So Moses showed them that their heart is what hardened like stone. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
And they found it as death. Because what? They didn't believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we go ahead? Okay. Deuteronomy 10 verse 12, you can read that. So Moses summarized, Jesus summarized the law of Moses.
I know the law of Moses. Say Paul will say the law is spiritual. So Jesus summarizes the law of Moses, which is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, right?
We will get
the law of the spirit of life. So he summarizes it as what? Love for God.
Right? It summarizes, meaning what Moses has just done, what Jesus has just done is to summarize the law. Who did it first? Moses. So Jesus just quoted what Moses said.
But then they had it with them. Did you see? Hardness of heart.
Do you understand? So Jesus summarized it to say is what? Love for God. You shall love the Lord your God. That is what? Faith in God. Love the Lord your God. That is what? Faith in God. Hallelujah. Did you get that? That is what? Faith in God. Believe in the Lord. That is it. Love the Lord your God. Is to believe God. To have faith in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then he now summarizes it again as what? So the second is like to the first.
Meaning the second is gotten from the first. Do you understand that?
So the second is gotten from the first. Matthew 22. It's getting dark here, no? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he said the second is like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That will be what? Luke 19:18. Do you understand me? Leviticus 19:18. So that will tell you something. That will tell you that Leviticus 19:18 should not be the product of the first. To love the Lord your God. Do you understand me?
Say the second is like the first, meaning the second took its preeminence from the first. Do you understand me?
Aha. Uh-huh. It took its form from the first. Are you following me? So the second is like the first. So Jesus summarizes the law as what? The love for God and the love for all men. If you look at Exodus 20. So everything in Exodus 20, don't go there, we'll look at it some other time.
Everything in Exodus 20 is summarized into two. The first part is what? Love your God. Love for God, which will be what? Faith in God. And the second part will be love for all men. You can read that and you see it.
Hallelujah. Jonathan, just study it and you see. Exodus 20. So what Jesus is saying is that okay. What Jesus is saying is that the love for God will be reflected in our love for men. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So this shows that Moses taught them in Deuteronomy faith in God. And Moses also taught them that they should walk in love towards all men. Also, do you understand? Moses taught them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
So we'll continue from here next week. Glory to God. We'll continue from here next week.
We'll continue from here next week. Glory to God. Have you learned something today? Okay. Let's be on our feet.